Hey, this is Don Felder, and you're listening to the Music Journeys podcast.
Welcome to the Music Journeys podcast. I'm Mike Foley, thrilled to have Don Felder on the podcast. I had the great fortune of interviewing Felder back in 2013 as well, shortly after the release of Road to Forever. He played a benefit show inside the LC, now Express Live, but just a fantastic performance, and I encourage you to check out Road to Forever during your listening travels, as well as American Rock and Roll, which we'll get to here shortly. As for the Eagles, just incredible listening memories, as I'm sure you have. One of my favorite things to do is to watch the Hell Freezes Over DVD, and not just the performances, but the introduction piece that talks about how the band came back together. And listening to the songs, whether it's on vinyl, the remastered tracks, the live versions, it's just still an incredible, enriching, enjoyable experience. Felder will reflect a bit on the Eagles, but we also dive deep into this new release, American Rock and Roll, which has quite the list of guest contributors. You'll hear about that. Stick around for the end, too, as Felder emotionally describes the power music has on listeners. Don Felder, our featured guest on this edition of Music Journeys. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Don Felder, and this is my music journey.
Don Felder spent almost 30 years with the Eagles and co-wrote one of the band's most beloved songs. Hotel California earned the 1977 Record of the Year. When the band reunited in the mid-90s for the Hell Freezes Over tour, the acoustic version of the song garnered another Grammy nomination. And in this age of streaming, the 2013 remastered version of Hotel California has more than 531 million plays, according to Spotify.
Lyrically, it's a very just perfectly sculpted, mysterious piece. That combination of Henley Fry, to me, was every bit as powerful as Lennon McCartney. They were sort of the American Lennon McCartney, if you want to know what I thought of those two guys. Just brilliant songwriters. I had a lot to do with the music, the chord progression, the bass part, the reggae feel. And so it was a really just spectacular combination of the feeling that was in that music track and the really beautiful lyrics that Don and Glenn wrote.
More on that song a little later in the podcast. Since his departure from the Eagles in 2001, Felder has released two solo projects, the most recent coming earlier this year with the 11-track American Rock and Roll. Felder has a number of musical connections besides the Eagles. Growing up in Gainesville, Florida, he formed a band with Stephen Stills. Felder even had a teaching stint in his hometown. Among his students, a young Tom Petty. Felder became friends with Greg and Dwayne Allman, and Felder credits Dwayne with teaching him slide guitar. But the biggest influence on Felder's love of music, his ear for sound, and even the guitar skills he's mastered all came from his dad in an innovative recorder.
I remember my father had music playing in our house constantly. When he was not working, he would come home and take a shower, he'd get cleaned up, lay back in this big reclining chair, and he'd put on Glenn Miller or Tommy Dorsey or Benny Goodman or one of the big bands. He loved that era, so it was going the whole time. And I would look at him and see him just relaxed and really enjoying the music. So I think subconsciously, later on, I really wanted to please my father, as we all do, by doing something that he would love and appreciate. My dad bought a tape recorder. It was called a Voice of Music tape recorder, and it had this phenomenon on it called sound on sound. Now, most of the records back in the 50s were mono. So we would borrow mono and put them on this turntable that we had bought at a swap meet and record them onto one side of this Voice of Music tape recorder. I could plug in a little amp or in the back of the tape recorder and sit there and play, you know, Elvis Presley songs and learn to play by hearing them on one side and recording myself on the other side and then realizing, oh, that chord's wrong, oh, that's wrong, until I would go back and listen over and over and over until I could play it perfectly and record it along with the band. So it was a really great way to develop my ear training as well. You know, so even today I can hear something two or three times and pick up a guitar and play it. When you learn to speak that language, when you hear it, you can speak it pretty easily. The funny thing about it all is that the initial inspiration and enthusiasm about music started back when I was 10 years old, and for a passion for music. And I think that's what's driven me my whole life. It's why I still do it today. I wrote this last record because I love to be in the studio and write and create. I was flipping through pictures, old Eagles pictures, and I found this picture of me standing on the stage at Wembley Stadium. I think it must have been 74 or 75. So I came up with this idea to write this stadium rock song called Rock You. And I wrote the music, I wrote the words, and I went, you know, it would be really fun if I could get a really great, like, classic rock singer to sing this with me, like a duet. I called up Sammy Hagar, who's been a friend of mine since the 80s, and he said, yeah, sure, come on up. We'll record it in my studio. So I hop on a plane, fly up to San Francisco, and go into a studio, and he's already got a mic set up. I play him the tracks, have the lyrics printed out for him. 30 minutes later, we finish the vocals. Go back to get another cup of coffee, and Bob Weir is walking down the hallway, who has a studio just a couple of blocks from Sammy, and he wants to just come over and hear some jokes and have a cup of coffee. So I said, Bob, we're doing this track. You got to come in and sing on this track. So I walk him into the studio and set him up in front of the mic. He says, well, what do you want me to sing? I just said, I want you to yell, Rock You. So we got about six or eight Bob Weirs singing Rock You amongst all of these other people in the crowd that sing that. Then Joe Satriani comes over, and he and I plug in a couple of guitars in the control room, just out of the blue. I have no idea what we're going to do. I said, Joe, let's do something where we can write some harmonies that we play together, and then you take a solo, and I'll take a solo, and we'll do a little harmony again, and we just kind of mapped out stuff. And I have sat in the studio toe-to-toe with some of the greatest guitar players around, and I have never been so intimidated, so nervous as I was sitting there with Joe Satriani. He is just such a technical master and so just on fire when he plays. So it's like, okay, I got to dial it up here. So the two of us kept going at each other, and we came up with some really good, fun stuff. So, you know, that stuff just sort of happened for that song. We'll be right back.
Much of the record just kind of came together that way, according to Felder. Take, for instance, the song Limelight with Richie Sambora.
I know Sambora for a long time, and I called him up and said, "Hey, I got this song is right up your alley. Would you mind playing some guitar on it with me?" So I went over to his house. He's got a studio set up in his kitchen. Now, I've made records in just about every place you can imagine, but never in a kitchen. But the good part of it was all you had to do was lean over, grab the coffee pot, and refill your cup. You didn't have to get up and leave the studio and then come back. So we're sitting there playing away like crazy, trading off on these two guitar parts, and I turn around and look, and walking down the staircase is Orianthe. Now, I've known Orianthe since she first came to the United States maybe 12, 15 years ago, and she is an unbelievable guitarist. We've played together and done hotel together at benefits and charity events and for Access TV and just different stuff. So I said, "Oh, my God, Orianthe, I'd completely forgotten that she and Sambora were together as a couple." I said, "Go get a guitar. You have to play on this record." So she had literally just gotten out of bed. She's got a baseball hat on, a T-shirt, cut-off shorts, flip-flops, no makeup. She goes over, grabs this guitar, and plugs in and absolutely kills it. This is like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. I think it's maybe one of my favorite solos, if not the favorite solo on American rock and roll.
Other contributors on Felder's latest release include Peter Frampton, Mick Fleetwood, and Slash. There's a few slower songs as well, including a rewrite of a tune Felder crafted during his Eagles days, titled Son.
You know, it's funny. I wrote that song for my son, S-O-N, right after he was born. Must have been about 1974, 75. It had a totally different set of lyrics. It had just the hook. First glimpse of the sun, except it used to be first glimpse of my son. Same music track. And so I played it for Don and Glenn as a suggested track that we could do for one of these nights. And they went, "Yeah, that's really nice. You got anything that's like more rock?" You know, so I went, "Okay, how about this?" And so anyway, it sat there, and I kept thinking about the musicality of it and the feeling that's in it. And I thought that, well, maybe writing the lyrics about your son, first of all, limits half of your audience to just having a male child instead of a female child. And then a lot of people don't really have kids, and so they may or may not relate to it. So I changed S-O-N to S-U-N. And our first glimpse of the sun is when we're actually born onto this planet. And you start becoming awake, and you see the sun, and the sun rises, and you go through life's experiences. And then at the very last verse, there's a line in there about a warm passing or warm crossing of life and seeing the sun on the other side of what we have now. So it became a more spiritual and not quite so much about a child as it was about a life experience. So myself and Timothy Drury, who was with the Eagles during Hell Freezes Over, he He's in my band now. Great singer, great keyboard player. He was in a band called Whitesnake for 7 years. I get him to come over, and he and I sing all of those voices in the harmonies, just two of us. But we layer them so thick, and it lays so many of them, it sounds more like a small men's choir or something than just two guys singing multiple tracks.
When he reflects on those days with the Eagles, Felder has more of a sense of gratitude rather than regret.
I think it was an absolutely magical combination of all the people that were in that group at that particular time, with the history and the talents that we had. I had a massive pool of songwriting, a great pool for vocals, an incredible guitar collection between Walsh, myself, and Glenn. Glenn was a great guitar player, believe it or not. He wrote some of the greatest solos ever. And the ability to really select the right songs and the right singers for them and have the right producer, it was a magical combination that produced stuff that not any one of us individually has been able to climb anywhere near to that height since.
If there's a signature song from the Eagles, it's arguably Hotel California. It's a song inspired from a cassette of instrumentals Felder had been working on. During a conversation we had back in 2013, Felder shared his recollection of how it all came together and confirmed he still has that cassette.
Yeah, I do. I actually, several years ago, found it in a large box of other demo cassettes that I had, and I found that track. And it was remarkably similar to the final result, but without lyrics and melody. The music track to it was fairly close to being what you hear on the record today, with the exception of a few Joe Walsh-isms on the end of the song where he plays, he's just Joe, you know. And when we got in the studio, we were recording it, and I always thought that we would just set up two guitars. Joe and I would plug in like we had done so many times on stage during other jams, and we would just go toe-to-toe and have fun playing and pushing each other. That's what we started doing, and then Don Henley walked into the control room and said, "Stop, that's not right. You have to do it exactly like the demo." I said, "Well, I don't remember what I played. That was over a year ago." So we were in the studio in Miami. I had to call my house in Los Angeles and ask someone to find that cassette tape, put it in a blaster, and play it. And she held the phone up to the front of this blaster, and we recorded it in the studio in Miami over the phone. Got to the end of it, and Joe said, "We need to do something that sounds like deedly, 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 deedly." So since I had written the chord changes, I had to sit down and figure out what diddly diddly was over all the different chords that went by across that progression, work out my part, and then the harmony for it. And Joe and I practiced literally almost bar by bar through the progression what we were going to play, and then we went back and recorded it bar by bar or chord by chord until we had assembled really a perfect execution of that idea.
Now 72, Felder remains grateful for what music has given him and listeners.
I don't know what I would do in life without it. I have been just blessed with this gift to be able to hear and write and perform and record and do this. And there's a reason for it. Not only does it give me an outlet to express really deep emotional feelings and thoughts, and when you're playing something and you're writing it and you're full of this emotion, it just pours out in the notes that come out of you. It comes out in the tremor in your voice. It's an extremely emotional, expressive way to communicate with people. And to have that ability to do that is just such an honor, a thrill to be able to do it. But I don't write and play and record so much for other people as I do as an outlet for my own feelings and thoughts. Here's something else to consider. I went up to Canada a couple of times to Calgary, and they have this brain institute there that's full of people that have had brain damage. One guy was a soldier that had shrapnel in his brain from Bosnia. He was a Calgary soldier. Somebody had been in a motorcycle accident, and somebody had slipped and fallen on the ice and hit their head on the cement curb, and they're all in wheelchairs, you know, motorized wheelchairs. Most of them can't speak. There were probably 15 patients in a big horseshoe in front of me, and all of their parents and children were behind them against the wall. And I would play songs like Best of My Love or Take It Easy, Tequila Sunrise, Peaceful Easy Feeling, those older songs. You could see these people responding, even though they couldn't speak. They were unreachable in any other form of communication. There was still some place in their brain where they had stored those memories and the joy and the ideas and that part of their life that they had related to that song. And all the parents started crying, and I was doing my best not to cry and try to sing at the same time. But it was a very moving moment for me to realize how that gift can touch people. And in a very strong, deep, soul-to-soul way, I think is the best way to put it. So that's what music means to me.
We couldn't let our chat with Felder go without trying the Fast Five. Here we go. The first song that you can remember hearing that you loved.
Fingertips Part 2. Maybe it was Part 1. The very first Stevie Wonder track.
How about the song that makes you feel the most nostalgic or reflective?
I think it's a song called Life's Lullaby that I wrote for my little boy when he was born 10 years ago.
This world awaits your smile. Beautiful angel flying so high, watching us all. Just close your eyes and float in the skies. Savor life's lullaby. Life's little miracle, watching you grow, bringing your dreams. Destiny spirits calling you home. So hurry home, hurry home, hurry home, hurry home to my love.
It's on Road to Forever. And it's just about the whole spiritual, entering a body and being born into the planet thing, and your mother waiting there in open arms for you. So it's very personal and most kind of reflective, I think.
Beautiful. There's only five of these, all right? No, I'm not going to keep you here
okay,
all day.
Thank God.
How about your go-to song for dancing, or you don't dance, but maybe a tune that you hear and you just can't sit still when you hear it?
Superstition. I don't dance because I really am too left-footed about dancing because I spent my whole life on stage playing, not dancing. And so I get on a dance floor and I just look the exact opposite of what a dancer should look like.
I feel the same way. How about the song that makes you feel like working out, or if you don't work out, the song that kind of motivates you to get through something that maybe you don't want to do or something you got to get done? Motivator song.
Wow. Okay, pass. Next.
Oh, come on.
Keep going.
How about the song that lifts you up when you're feeling down?
Well, I think a lot of songs do that. You know, anything that has an upbright, positive, cheery side, lyrically at an upbeat tempo, does that to me. And it can be, you know, anything from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever, yesterday.
Love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Well, we got four of the five in. My thanks to Don Felder for his time and his music with the Eagles and his solo material. I'm Mike Foley. Talk to you again on the next Music Journey.